You're listening to Our Faith, Our Country, the podcast that discusses walking with Christ and ties faith to America's foundation. Here's your host, Jason Bryant Jennings.
1 Timothy 2:1. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. The connection here, the First Amendment and religious freedom. My guest today has gone from getting a pacemaker at age 5 to something called Cry Night to a playoff-winning home run as a freshman in high school to winning the 2021 NCAA National Championship with Oklahoma softball. Grace Lyons, welcome to Our Faith, Our Country.
Thank you for having me.
Grace, as we talked about before we started the show, so much to get to with your story. Tell us a little bit about what happened when you were about 5 years old playing soccer.
Grew up in a super athletic household and, you know, sports were all we did. Awesome family, supportive and all that. So when I was 5, I've been playing t-ball, probably basketball, soccer. But we realized, so I was out of breath at one of my games and they rushed me to the hospital and ended up needing to put a pacemaker in. And to help my heart rate that was kind of a little funky. And from then on, I've had a few surgeries with it, but no one would ever know if I didn't bring it up or say anything about it. But I really think that the pacemaker has had a really cool part in my life. And it hasn't stopped me from doing anything, but I really think that there's just an importance with it to be a part of my story and just, you know, who I am today.
Let me ask you this. How has that made you appreciate life even more?
As I've kind of grown up with the parents that I have, we've never really used anything as an excuse. And we've never wanted anything to be something that made you get extra attention or think of you any differently. But as I've kind of matured in my faith, just in my personality, I really think that having a pacemaker and realizing that we are all built differently and we all have different things that make us who we are, but realizing that and acknowledging it makes it a really special part of my story. And as I really think about it, you know, a lot of the time I just kind of try to either not hide it. I don't really acknowledge it a ton because honestly, it doesn't make me any different than most people just on the outside doing what I love. But when I realize that I have this, kind of realize how special it is and how unique, and it is something that could have stopped me from doing things. And I'm super appreciative of how it's been able to keep me playing the sport I love, softball, at this highest level. So honestly, it is something that can't take breathing or your heartbeat for granted. And right now I'm reading Draw the Circle by Batterson. And one of the days a couple of days ago was explaining to be super thankful for some things that you take for granted, like eating, obviously the food we have, breathing, having a house to live in. So when I think back to it, that's honestly one of those needs that we have, and taking them for granted is something that I've learned to not do with this.
Walk us through Cry Night, through your freshman year of high school, hitting that game-winning home run in the playoffs.
If you kind of grew up in the church, you went to church camps over summer. And growing up, I went to Sunday school, you go to church, and when I got into middle school is when we started going to a different church that had an awesome youth program. And we would go to these summer camps in June or July. And I was not young in my faith, but I wasn't mature in my faith. And it was something that you go to church camp. And I had no idea that, you know, the last day of camp was a night that you make the decision, if you hadn't already, to follow Christ. And hearing all the girls talk, and the topic of it was, okay, who's going to cry tonight? Who's going to be the most sad or the most, you know, changed, I guess, at that seventh, eighth grade age. But that night, it was eighth grade, and I really didn't know what I was getting into. And we went to that night session, that last night, and me knowing, okay, it's cry night, what's going to happen? I really had no idea. And we go in there, and the message is awesome. The worship's awesome. And then they get to a point where, you know, you have a little opportunity to stand up and walk to the front of the stage and either press a button or go talk to someone about it. And I remember sitting in my seat, watching all of these people get up out of their seat and walk to the stage. And I just sat there. I was almost embarrassed to stand up and make that decision. And I didn't make that decision. And then a year later is that freshman year of high school. So it was honestly almost an entire year later. And I had met an awesome mentor who had walked me through, you know, how to take next steps. And that was the point that I decided, you know, I'm ready to take a next step. And it was then that I remembered that cry night and me thinking, okay, I'm no longer going to be embarrassed for my faith, but I'm going to take this to the next level and go all in. That freshman postseason of softball. And I had already scheduled my baptism for a day after one of the games that we had, not knowing if we honestly would be in playoffs anymore or if we would win or lose, not aware of any of that. And it was crazy because little freshman Grace played shortstop, probably hit down in the lineup, nothing special, but playing a team called Xavier. And I get up to the plate in a crunch situation and I end up hitting a walk-off home run to put us to the next round. And I just remember, yes, we were all super excited for that moment. Right after the game, it's okay, who's coming to the church to get Grace baptized? And I think that's something that I would remember way more than that walk-off home run. And I have a little cheesy Instagram caption that I look back on, 15-year-old Grace saying, hit a walk-off home run, but also hit a walk-off home run in my faith. So just having that moment to look back at and remember how far I grew in that 1 year. And now I'm like, how was I ever embarrassed about my faith? But we all at some point, you know, hit a point that we realized that we need to take a next step. And I think that that's kind of what launched me into this new passion that I have. And my passion and purpose is to influence as many people for Christ as I can. And I love looking back at where I was and how far I've come with that.
One of the things that I think has been absolutely awesome, and I've heard you say this a couple different times, is that one of the things that you really battled with was allowing softball to define who you were. Talk a little bit about that evolution.
I know that a bunch of high caliber athletes, whether you're young or old, if you love the sport, there's a conflict between different passions in your life. And I mean, if you dig into the Bible, there's so many instances where it just talks about how the things of this world are super distracting. And obviously, we make so many idols of things that are going to fade away and are going to disappear. Men are not going to come with us to heaven. We came here empty-handed, we're going to leave empty-handed. So there's this constant battle between us wanting to find a purpose and loves and different things on earth. But there's also that tugging of that's not going to last. And that's not going to be something that you're going to have forever. It's going to fade away. And talk to any athlete, specifically, I mean, Christian athletes, they have a strong drive to compete and to win and to achieve. And for me at that young age, when I wasn't mature in my faith, even after I'd made that decision to go all in, I still was super immature and battling with that tug between of this world and the eternal perspective. And I struggled with having my performance define me. That never ends. Even in college and at this highest level, it's something to where there's always going to be that worldly distraction of, honestly, it's the devil pulling at your heart saying, hey, this is pretty cool. This softball thing, you're really good at it. And if you aren't careful, that can take over. If you're not super invested in the word and learning about the truth of what Jesus has for us outside of the worldly stuff. I just distinctly remember going through high school battling with that. And, you know, I would hate to admit it, but there were times, you know, where you'd be crying after an 0-3, 0-4 game. And I look back and I'm like, dang, that really defined me. My outcomes completely defined me. And now having this different perspective, obviously we still struggle with it, but I do have this different eternal perspective that the failures and the roller coaster of the game doesn't define who I am. Yes, I'm still going to be frustrated, obviously, after, you know, not getting what you want. And you ride that also high of super excited after success. But I have learned that when you kind of stay in that neutral point and alter your perspective to honor softball as a platform, I think that's where it takes away that emotional roller coaster of what sports can be, and they can drag you down if you don't have that. So it's been a journey with that, but I encourage focusing on the truth of it and acknowledging that we do have a platform with sports.
Every athlete, every coach, even if you're not in sports, if you're just working a regular 9-to-5 job, you have to deal with this. You've also talked in the past about battling with comparison. What are some things in the Bible that you look to when you're trying to remember that you don't have to compare yourself to anybody else?
I love the Enneagram, and that's something that I really get into, the different numbers and all of that. And I think it's super interesting, but a lot of me is I can sometimes look and think about maybe what people think or what people are going to think. And I think that I really want to get myself away from that. Remember that, honestly, the less we have, the more we're going to glorify God and find our position right next to Him. And realizing that kind of what I said earlier about we came here with nothing, we're going to leave with nothing. And all those details and characteristics that maybe we compare ourselves to, those are all going to fade away. And if you're looking and comparing accolades or talents and all these things, in Romans 12, it just says that we all have these different gifts and we have different forms of worship. And I always go that back to that and remember, you know, we need to lay ourselves down as a sacrifice to Jesus. And we all do that in different ways, and we worship in different ways. And if we remember that we all have unique ways to glorify God, then what's the point of trying to be like someone else and trying to have those different things that make them special for us? I think realizing that we're all unique and we're all created to do different things makes me able to appreciate other people more versus compare to them.
What are some of the things that you just keep in mind when you're out there on the field and understanding that, yes, the accolades are going to come when you're out there on the field, but in the end, what you're doing to glorify Him?
Honestly, this past couple, 2 months, and after we won the national championship, some people still ask me, oh, what does it feel like? How are you feeling? Because they want to know, what is it like to be a national champion? And to be honest, the feeling has faded away. Not completely, but that high that I was on that first or second day after winning it, it's not there anymore. And it's not a bad thing. It's not that we didn't lose. We won and we accomplished everything that we wanted to from that season. But that made me realize that the accomplishments and winning a softball game, that's going to go away. Things that I do remember from this World Series are all of the stories that glorified God in every single bit of it. And about a year ago, I was reading, and I like to find little acronyms to remind myself of things. And one of them in particular was boast about the Lord. And I turned that into BATL. And I was like, oh, perfect. Sports, battling, all that. And that was about a year ago, a year or two ago. And it came back in a chapel this year that kind of became our team little motto. And we made a little softball cheer out of it, which was awesome because, I mean, every single person on the team is cheering. If you watch any softball game, that's kind of what makes the difference between softball and baseball. You have these little fun cheers that can be annoying, but our team is built around, you know, how much noise can we make? How goofy can we make them? All of that. But the battle thing, it ultimately became something that we made shirts out of. Fans and family are wearing them in the stands, and we're getting messages from people saying, what does BATL mean? How can we get some shirts? And that's where it got to a point where, oh my goodness, at the World Series, at the highest level, the name of Jesus is still being spread. And one other thing was the four. If you look at the battle, you can turn an A into a four and it still looks like battle. And another thing that we had was we put up fours any instance we could. And if you watch our dog pile and us hoisting the trophy, we're all throwing our fours up. And people were wondering, again, what that was. And it is, who are we playing for? And we're playing for Jesus and for God to be glorified in everything we do. So after our losses, we throw the fours up. After our wins, we throw the fours up. And no matter what happened at the World Series or whatever we're doing, we're still glorifying God with every single bit of it. So those two things, just incredible, because it's more than softball. It's our families, maybe who aren't believers, are asking questions to their daughters. Hey, what does that mean? Fans are DMing us. I'm curious. Can you explain, like, what are you guys doing? And it just made me realize these last 2 months of, yes, we won, but I remember those memories of how we made Jesus famous at the highest level possible, kind of more than the actual accolade that we got. But we use softball as a platform to glorify God. So I don't think anyone on our team will ever forget that. And definitely lives were changed that week.
Grace, everybody picks a college for a different reason, right? Whether it's sports, whether it's academics, whether it's the overall location and geography of the university. I recently had Grayson Radcliffe from Indiana Softball on the show. And as I'm sure you know, her head coach, Shauna Stanton, is a very strong believer. Your head coach at Oklahoma is a very strong believer. How important was picking a coach that had the same beliefs as you did? And what role did Coach Gasso's beliefs play in you choosing to ultimately go to Oklahoma?
If you know softball, about 2 years ago, they changed the rule for recruiting. But as I was getting recruited, I was in that eighth grade time frame. And as I talked about my story earlier, that eighth grade freshman year, I was still battling with my faith and how I wanted it to go and the path I wanted to take. So what's crazy is that God had that plan for me before I even knew or was mature enough to realize it. So just thinking about that, it's crazy that looking back that maybe I didn't even know I was making the decision for that. But what I do remember is it just being different. Having a coach that has these family morals and these ideas, it's bigger than softball. It's how can we create, and how Coach Gasso says it now is, we're building you from girls to women. And from the outside, when I was making that decision, yes, I knew he was an awesome person, awesome family, good morals. And I mean, I didn't really know the depths of that. But now that I'm in it and I'm living through it, I can tell you that having someone, a role model and a leader like that, speaking into your life, into your faith, making sure that that's a priority, that is incredible. And that has been one of my most favorite memories and assets of this team, and how she can live a life of softball, but also of mentoring young girls and building them into women. So in any area of life, it's super important to have someone like that speaking into you and leading you, not just sports, but I've got 4 years of this crazy lifestyle, and having her be a part of that and the lessons that she teaches intertwined with softball is something that makes us not get tangled up in, you know, how softball can become an idol. It doesn't distract us. It lets us have a good balance between our faith and our passion of softball. So it's super important. And I'm super thankful that she has that way of speaking into our lives in that way.
What is the biggest way that Coach Gasso has used faith to help you develop into that woman?
She encourages us to go to church. She encourages us to have Bible studies. She encourages us to not let successes or failures define us. Her job is riding on whether we win or lose, right? And the fact that she doesn't get distracted and focused on that, that shows me, and without her maybe even saying it, it just, her leadership in that way allows me to not get fully, you know, submerged in that distraction that we could. And also, I would say her just being her outside of softball, seeing and having those interactions, team function without softball, all the things that show that she's more than a coach and she's a woman of God, and just having that we can look up to, that's definitely encouraged me and kept me focused on, you know, that eternal perspective that I was talking about.
Talk about some of your favorite Bible verses. Give us maybe one or two of them that you look to maybe on a daily basis.
I've actually met some cool people that teach me how to see Bible verses and numbers. And my birthday is actually October 17th. So 10:17 is actually the boast about the Lord verse, 2 Corinthians 10:17. So whenever I see 10:17, the time, I think about that one, and it's really cool that it's turning into the battle theme. So maybe I'll make some shirts or, you know, go run with that verse. That's really one of my main verses right now. Also Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. Joy is something that's a really cool quality that really, it's the difference between happiness and joy. And I think focusing on joy, Jesus provides us with so much joy amidst all of the mourning or sadness or things that aren't going well. You can find joy in that if you dig into who Jesus is. So rejoice in the Lord and then boast about the Lord. Two not easy things to do, but just good reminders on a daily basis.
If you make a shirt, I want one. I'm calling it right now.
Oh, for sure. I got to come up with a cool logo, but I got you.
All right. Sounds good. So last topic here before we close out the show, because I think this is something that's very important for listeners out there. And we've got a ton of listeners in high school and college, and obviously also parents out there that listen to the podcast. So I want to talk a little bit about this. Faith on college campuses right now, even in high school levels, is such a big deal. Obviously, you're at a very public university, not a private one. So there's a lot of limitations on things. How do you deal with being a strong believer on a college campus?
That's something that I definitely thought about as I was going into college. I thought back to that eighth grade year of feeling embarrassed or feeling, you know, that that couldn't be a big part of my life. And with how my faith has taken over one of my main passions, I wanted, like I said, my purpose is to influence as many people for Jesus as I can and be that kingdom worker. And how I would encourage people is when you take that stance in your faith to make Jesus famous, with that comes the qualities of being super consistent in your actions and your words. With that comes doing, obviously, a lot of the people would consider the right things. And because of that, we have a strong conviction just to help people and live that life that Jesus has called us to. And all of that builds respect. And you would assume that a lot of freshmen come in and try to find people to follow. Well, I went in with the mentality of how can I influence people? And I had that boldness that came only from Jesus, because walking into a pretty scary situation, being a freshman at a Power Five school, that's intimidating. But I really think that my boldness and confidence came from Jesus, to where I was able to go in and have that purpose right away. And that gained so much respect from the upperclassmen and people that I could speak into, even if they are older than me. So I really would encourage consistency and boldness and confidence that come from Jesus, because if you let the situations kind of define you that you're going into, you're going to be pulled into directions that you don't want to. But if you can have that mindset going into those situations, be having that consistency going into that, you're not going to waver. You're going to stay on that path that you want and that Jesus wants for you. And that's going to, like I said, gain so much respect from people. And it's going to be different than just letting kind of the world control you.
Grace, thanks so much for joining me on this episode of Our Faith, Our Country. If you could pray us out, that would be great.
Oh, for sure. Hey, God, I just thank you so much for the people that you put in our lives, that whether we know it or not, those people are there to support us, to encourage us, but we're also there to work in their lives. And the best thing you put on this earth for us is relationships and people to have relationships with. We're not meant to do things alone. Two are better than one. And you created these relationships for a reason. So I pray that for anyone listening, God, that you remind them of the truth that you came and lived this life for us so that we could go out and continue to make you famous in any way that we can, whatever hobbies that we're into, whatever relationships that we're put into, friends, family, all of that. I just pray that we don't take that for granted, and that we just continue to follow in the direction that you want us to, that we are obedient to you, and that we're just confident in the hope that you have for us. So I just pray that that's a great reminder for anyone, including myself. And I just pray that for people struggling with identity in whether it's sports or their job or anything that can steer us away from you, I just pray that we remember that we're created for a unique purpose, a unique passion, and unique talents, and that we have these platforms to make you famous, and that we don't stop doing that, and we're bold in that. So we thank you so much for that. I pray for safety and health, whatever is happening in this world, that we continue to focus on you in every situation. We thank you so much. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media at Faith Country Pod or by searching for Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Until next time, later times, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Our Faith, Our Country. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.